We've been pleased to have Tony and Tina with us this weekend. Tony was here for a Northern Hub meeting, and he leads the Regions Beyond UK team.
Whoa.
Oh, you can do better than that, surely. Listen, the louder the cheer, the shorter the preaching. There we are. Whoa. It works. So, Tony and Tina come from the deep south, passport stamped several times on the way up the country, but we are thrilled to have them. So, can I ask, let's just stand together. I want to pray for Tony.
Thank you.
As he brings the word to us. Father, we want to thank you for the richness of your word that dwells within this man. We thank you that you have given him a ministry here among us today. And we pray, Lord, you will not only bless us, but you'll bless him in the delivery of the word. And all the people said, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alan. He lies, by the way. You only get half an hour, regardless of what you do. So lovely to be back here amongst you. Alan said, come from Hope Church in London. We send our love and greetings. Who's going away with the students next weekend? Put your hand up with your students. Really? That figure? Okay, listen, I want to encourage you. A friend of mine, Alex, who's on our team, is going to come and speak to you. And I want to tell you this, we have been praying for you as a church. And I want to say, I really believe that as you go away, God is going to give you life-shaping words. That's the prayer over us. It's life-shaping words. And I particularly, as we're worshiping today, want to put out a call for this. I believe for some of you, while you're away, God is going to speak to you about extending your period of study in Durham. So you might be an undergraduate, you might be in a master's. I believe God may speak to some of you about extending that, or just moving and staying here with us in Durham. And just be open to that. Just be open to that. And you might be a first year or second year thinking, I'm not even thinking like that. Be open to God to speak to you. Secondly, I also felt that God was said over us and over you as students that there's a mid-season harvest. So harvests generally have one cycle a year. And for us, as we gather students, it's generally around that first term and we see that big move in. I just want to say, I felt as you were going to be receiving something from God, he would be speaking to you, equipping you, and then we to be expecting a mid-season harvest of friends that you might have, or friends that you may have or not yet have, that God will pull in your way, and then he will bring them to you, and then they will come and worship here with us. So that's exciting, isn't it? And particularly unsaved friends. That's what we're about, church. It's about unsaved friends. Well, the clock is ticking, so I'm going to be really tight on my time. We are, as a church, and when I'm here, whenever I preach anywhere, I use the us and we language. So I'm talking about us here in Durham, us here at Emmanuel. We are beginning this year, or we have begun this year, looking at our heart connection. The very things that make us who we are. We're looking a little bit back on our heritage, what God has done through us, but also looking forward to what he's called us to. And I was praying on my drive up here, and I really felt the Lord say, this is not a season where we're erecting a museum and we can come and look at the peculiarities of Alan's ministry over 40 years. All right? It's all through your life and story, although there's much to be spoken about and much to celebrate. It's not even a monument, or in the Old Testament we put altars where we stop and we thank God for what he's doing. And that's also very biblical. Museum's not biblical, monument's biblical. But I believe what God is actually saying through this series, he's actually erecting signposts shaped like arrows for us. Signposts shaped like arrows, which take us on to the next journey. And then you'll code that signpost and you'll hit a corner and there'll be another signpost. And it'll be words that we have heard spoken in this season. Let's be excited about what God has called us to. My job today is to do two things. One, to encourage you never to settle. Never to settle. And secondly, to understand that you are an apostolic people. And even in conversation with people who like said, oh, what are you preaching on today? I said, about being apostolic people. I said, oh, I don't understand that. There's disconnect between local mission, the call of the church. Last week, Brendan was talking to us about the church, Jesus' glorious bride, to be the fulfillment of his heart through himself, to have a people for himself that glorify him to the communities around them, to the world around him. This is Jesus' inheritance. You are Jesus' inheritance. And as we gather here in Emmanuel, we in Durham, we are his witnesses to our community. We glorify him by the way we live, and we are called to local mission. We're called to believe that because we're here, the kingdom's expanding, lives will be changed, he will be glorified, and others will find fulfillment and hope and salvation in him. That is a great call, isn't it? And it's one we should be excited about. But we're also called, and we're going to look in a passage today in 2 Corinthians where Paul says, you know, I'm looking to the regions beyond. I'm always looking beyond the horizon. I'm always looking at what the next is. I'm not letting go of what's happening here, but I'm pursuing where we're going. And so often when we hear the word apostolic, or even the word apostolic people, which isn't a biblical phrase, but it's a mush together, a bit like the Trinity. It's biblical, but you won't find the word Trinity in the Bible. We go, oh, that's someone else. That's people like Tony or others. You and I are called to be apostolic people. That is the call over our lives. The big arc of the Bible is this. And it starts in Genesis 1. Even before the fall, the Lord speaks to Adam and Eve, and he says this to them. He says to them that they are called to be fruitful, to multiply, or to increase in number, and to fill the earth and subdue it. Means to bring my kingdom to it. This is the unfallen kingdom. And he's saying you're still this call to expand and grow. To see beyond the immediate. To embrace what God has. Peter, in his letter, his first letter, he said that, you know, we are foreigners or aliens. We're strangers. We're exiles. What he means is we live alongside the communities we're part of, but we're not really part of them. We're not really part of them. We discovered as a family last night while having fish and chips and just chatting and talking about how old we all are by days of the year. Have you ever done that? Put your birthday in, work how many days old you are. I'm over 20,000 days old. We were talking about this, and then the subject turned to my granddaughter Ada, and I said, she's really a child of the Northeast, isn't she? And Tina Blarsley says, well, no, Ashley's the first child of the Northeast in us. I said, I know she lives here. She went, no. This is probably too much information for you. She said, no, she was conceived in Newcastle when we were on holiday. Some works of God take a long time. I know, Johnny, I just did it for your benefit. Some works of God just take a long time to come forth in our life. And some words over our life and some words over us as church here in Durham take time to bed in, and then you see them naturally come to the fruition. Do you ever found yourself in a social conversation, in a workplace, where the rhythm of the conversation is going one way and you're sort of nodding along, and then suddenly after a while you go like, no, I don't believe that. I don't see life like that. Or a decision, a moral decision perhaps at work, and you go, no, I'm sorry, that's not right. That's not right. We are called to be different. And apostolic people are people whose heart and mind and energies are facing a different way. This word apostolic just has a heresy, and you won't find it in the Old Testament because it was not a word that was known then. It's a Greek word. It's about 400 years before Jesus' ministry begins. The Greeks make this word up. And it really just means it was a naval word. It was when one city-state sent an emissary to another city-state. And they didn't just send them with a message. They sent them with the authority and power of the sending state. And the point of it was that the apostle was to go to not just bring a message, but to transform the community they're now working in. This is a central theme in the redemption plan of God, that we are called to be sent from him to new communities within Durham, within your high street, within, or you call them high street, I've learned a new word. What's the new word for high street? Yeah, that's still speaking in tongues for me. Whatever it is, I'll learn, I'll try better. Wherever you are, even to your next door neighbour, you are sent people. And the Romans come along, and they're a very aggressive, expansive empire. And they're realizing as they take city-states, as they take nations, and the army moves on, when they come back, things have reverted back to how they were. So they take this word and then start appointing apostolic generals. And so when the generals arrive, they don't just come with an army, they come with artists and philosophers and architects and language teachers. They bring a whole group of essentially ministries to change the culture of which they now call to dominate. The gospel is never individualistic. It's never just about you and I. I experience it like that. I receive it like that. Oh, Jesus, I am saved now. I recognize my own loss, my own depravity, my own separation from him. And even today when we're talking about the blood of Christ coming, we recognize and we see it that way. But the gospel is about Christ's rule and reign being demonstrated to the lost around us. I don't want to be political, but you do not have to be the majority to change a culture. Look at those who have a very strong views around sexuality and sexual identity. Even under the most aggressive of surveys, they are still sub 10%. But how has our nation's culture changed? Because a group of people understood this principle, that if you take this and you shape it and you embody it and you talk about it and you share it and you explain it, it pervades through culture. That is an un-God-backed mission. How much more is a God-backed mission going to change the communities we're in? And what you see in, is in the New Testament, Jesus then takes the same word apostle and he speaks to his disciples and he says, no longer you disciples the 12, which just means learners. He says, now you're not patriarchs, you're not priests. He didn't use biblical language. He turns and says, now you are, oh, this Greek word, this Roman used word, you're apostles. And for many of us, that's where the conversation stops. But what you see in the book of Acts is this story carry on. You see in Jerusalem, the apostles gathered there and people would have to come to them to be received training. And the odd person would go back to their nation. But that wasn't the heartbeat of God for this kingdom to expand. His heart is every believer to carry the Great Commission within them, to know that they are empowered to be his witnesses, but also culture transformations, to be people who affect every aspect of society where God has placed them, to break open new nations, yes, to go to new lands, yes, but to the lands that we live in to be different, that the city is glad because Emmanuel is here. Emmanuel, Jesus is here, and also Emmanuel Church is here. The King is here, and King's Church is here. And if you haven't got a name that matches that, shame on you. St. Cuthbert Church, I don't know if there is one, doesn't quite work the same way, but it works for us. Emmanuel, God with us. Not just baby Jesus. Not just even crucified Jesus, but the risen Jesus. who said, I go that the Holy Spirit might come and he will empower you. And you will receive words that shape you. It starts in Jerusalem, very small. They don't quite get it. They're still living a little bit with where we're still Jews. Are we not Jews? How does that work? God starts saving Gentiles. What's that about? We don't understand that. Let's send Barnabas. They sent Barnabas off to see what God was doing. He never came back. Imagine that if we saw a work of God happening down in, in Huddersfield, and we sent someone off. Let's send you, Peter. Go off and see what happens. And you never come back. Like, what's happening? He said, God is at move here. And the day he comes back, he brings a Huddersfieldian, if that's even a word, believer. Says, look, even in Huddersfield, God can move. All right? If you're from Huddersfield, God bless you. All my South London references don't work up here, so I have to find new ones. God brings persecution, the church is scattered. Then you have Paul and Barnabas, or Saul and Barnabas, that later become Paul and Barnabas, move to Antioch. And you see the church grow. And it says, it seemed right to them and the Holy Spirit to set Barnabas and Saul aside for ministry. And then church planting starts growing. The kingdom starts moving. Little teams go with them, but they always return and refreshed. They always come back and give a report. It's a small group of people doing this. I'm sure the anti-church is praying for them, yes. Resourcing them, yes. Getting behind it, yes. But we see in Acts, there's a big oak arc talk today. That even that, God says, no, that's still not it. You're still not it. We're growing in the revelation of what it calls to be the apostolic people of God, the individual carrying this. So what happens? God sends Agabus from Jerusalem and he says there is a famine coming and the church scatters again. It does seem to me that at moments of significant change in our lives, when we're stepping into a fresh revelation or gaining new ground, it often doesn't come off the back of a comfortable experience. Oh, to have that story. I went to this conference and I just basked in God's glory and he just did a work in my life, and ever since then. And that's true, that happens. But sometimes we go for a period where there's a transformation and there's a change. And this is what we see in Acts. And then Paul moves to Ephesus. Emmanuel, our heart for us here is that we would be an Ephesus apostolic church. That we would have that heart, because what you see there is not just Paul and Barnabas continuing, but you see young names like Timothy and Titus and unknown people that it said are sent out to touch the unreached cities and people. And what you're seeing is growth in the prophetic. You're seeing growth in the miraculous. You're seeing the church activated. Do we want to be a church that sees the lost reached? Yes. Bit of to and fro will help me here. You've only got 30 minutes left, so we're getting doing well. We're almost halfway to landing. We want to see the lost reach, don't we? Yes. We want to be a people that are prophetic in our actions, that we wake up every morning and say, Lord, what are you doing through us that you can continue to extend your kingdom? We want to be people who look not the footstep in front of us, but to the horizon yet unseen. If you said yes to those three statements, we were actually saying we want to be a prophetic apostolic people. The beautiful thing for us here is we literally are standing on apostolic and prophetic words over us. I don't know when you joined this church. I know when you joined us in the journey of even moving into this new building. Words such as, you will be a granary for the feeding of the nations. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, from Isaiah 54. Make room for the next. Go to the nations and I will give you Durham. When I say literally written under your feet, I mean under the carpets here. I had the privilege of seeing the building before it was finished. And I walked in and Alan never told me. And there was all this graffiti on the floor. I was like, man, did you just let your kids go loose for the fun of it? No. We've been praying on this. We are praying in these words. That is apostolic vision. That is prophetic vision. So steep within us is this call to be a base church. You see, if you believe that we are a place where others can come, where we receive people and grow them, and as we do the Northern Hub, and I'm looking forward to being back there for that, seeing others come and being blessed. Although the pizza option sounds much better than Simon, who I've heard preach, but there you go. If we want to be ascending people, we're declaring we're an apostolic people. Just close on this for a few minutes. 10 minutes. I'm doing pretty well on this. I love your time, man. I'm enjoying this. I couldn't quite pull it off when I went back to Hope. They just went, no, no. Paul, based in Ephesus, planted a church in Corinthians, and then it's not gone good. He's left there. Some other voices have arrived. A family have moved in, the Tate family. Anyone called Tate in the room? Good, this will work then. Never let the Tates move into your church. Never let the Tates move in. Old Grandpa Tate arrives. Fill in the room. Aggie Tate, his name is. Why are we forgiving this brother that's fallen? This sin, this family sexual sin. We can't forgive that. In no way that can happen. And grace and forgiveness goes out the room. Ma Tate, she pops up and she says, "Leah, I'll legislate," she's called. That's right. All this stuff about Jesus and him alone. Bit of circumcision will do us good round here. Bit of law keeping will do good round here. All the guys go, "No, no, I'll never let it come." Can I say to you, every man in the room that just winced and you're shrunk, there are worse things to lead to a legalistic environment than circumcision. It's a controlling. It's a removing Jesus from the center. And they're saying Paul doesn't really know what he's talking about. Two twins hesitate and vegetate. Then they arrive. What is Paul really? If he really loved us, he'd be here. If he really was our father, what's he off doing other things? You know, we're important, aren't we? And their voices don't encourage you to go on mission. They'd like, we'll sit here until it sorts itself out. Control is in the room. Christ is at the center. Mission is left alone. There's no forgiveness. Uncles irritate and dictate, decide they're going to rock up as well. Paul writes and says this. Let me close with some scripture, otherwise it will do me for heresy of not actually opening my Bible. Paul's whole letter. I used to think 2 Corinthians about Paul screaming and shouting. It's actually about Paul in chapter 11 said, you know, I birthed you as a father. And my heart for you is that you have been betrothed to Jesus. And I want you there as a virgin bride. In Hebrew culture, you'd get engaged, you'd be betrothed, this period of waiting for the wedding to happen. That's the season we're in, the waiting. We're getting married, it's done deal. But we're waiting for the groom to come back. And he's saying, like a father and mother, I'm preaching to protect you and protect the authenticity of the witness in you. This is verse 7 of chapter 10, midway through an argument. Are you judging by appearance, talking of himself? If anyone is confident that they belong to Christ Jesus, they should consider again what we belong to Christ Jesus as well, as much as they do. Even so, if I boast somewhat freely about my authority, the Lord has given us building you up rather than tearing you down. I will not be ashamed of that. I will not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters, Some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person, he's unimpressive. He speaks really amounts to nothing. Such people don't realize that when we come to you, I may have to speak to you in the same way I write to you. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with those who seek to command themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves to themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast belonging proper of our, beyond our proper limits. We will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God himself has assigned to us, a sphere that is also including you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as it would not be the case if we did so. Neither are we beyond our limits in boasting of the work done by others. Our hope is this, that your faith continues to grow, that your sphere of activity will grow very greatly, that we can preach the gospel to the regions beyond you, for we do not want to boast about a work already done by someone else's territory. This is what Paul is saying. He is saying, you are a people empowered for mission. You are a people, first of all, what? You are called. He says that right at the beginning, verse 7, doesn't he? That you are called, you're under God's authority. He's saying to them, Emmanuel, you are called. This expansive point I was trying to make from Jesus through to the disciples, through to the early church, expanding to Antioch. What happens beyond Ephesus? And what happens when the Bible ends? We had a lady want to come on Alpha course. She read the Bible in 1 week. She come back next and said, what's the sequel? I had no answer. Tina's answer is, we are the church. You are. You are called, Paul would say to you. You're called to build up and not destroy. That is apostolic. You're called in your weakness, but knowing that his strength is what makes you bold. You are called with a sphere of ministry. I had a beautiful opportunity yesterday of having a quick chat with George and Alison, who's sitting in the back. And we just start chatting, and she said, oh, where are you from? And I said, Bromley. So I was from Bromley. I worked there, and we were trying to work that out. And I said, how did you get from Bromley to Durham? She said, 50 years in Turkey first. You never heard George and Alison's story. It's a pure picture of apostolic people on mission, loving a nation. And they're the easy ones, isn't it? Then I turned, I think these people's permission says, I turned and met Kevin. No, I didn't. I met Brian. I met another guy called Kevin, but this is Brian, sitting again at the back. I said, hey, what's going on in your life? Just tells me his heart frees close. Some changes are happening in there, some widowing that's happening, and how God is putting their heart to love their close and care for them and see them break in to a relationship with Jesus. Both are apostolic works. Both are apostolic people waking up saying, Lord, what do you have for me today? And in this season, in my last 3 minutes, I want to encourage us here at Emmanuel that we embrace anew this new call. In a couple of days' time, I will be in America. My dad lives there. I've been there in 4th of July, which was quite fun. I did a welcome home party. I brought a whole load of English flags and stuff. And if you speak quick enough, people don't know what you're saying. It took about 10 minutes for someone to say, when I said, welcome home, all's forgiven. They go, hey, bud, it's 4th of July, you know. But I've also been there for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is about the pilgrims that were fleeing or persecution, but were also being sent for the gospel to go forth. And they went with this missionary zeal. They land, and then the Thanksgiving celebrates that they have this year of harvest, and they meet the community, and they start forming relationships with the Indian tribes, and it's celebrated in America. The trouble is, it forgets the first 2 years. It forgets that the first boat are landing in Jackson, I believe, or Jacksonville. They had travelled all from Europe, from across Europe, right across the Atlantic, and they stopped 2 miles inland. They would not leave the coast. Plymouth boat arrives a year later, does the same. Jamestown, everyone dies. Plymouth, nearly everyone dies. To be an apostolic people means to be embracing risk. Why didn't they move? The fear of the unknown. Their dependency on resources from the past, from Europe, and their poor ability to adapt to the new environment. One of the other words we carry is 400 and beyond. The 400 bit, we get that. There's an empty chair, isn't there? It takes faith for the and beyond. That's the bit that apostolic visions needed. Prophetic visions needed. And faith needs to be relayed. It's the bit that we end on. And if we can stand, I'm going to pray for us. So I'm going to get my last 50 seconds on this. So please stand. Just want to say over each and every one of us, I believe the call is to not be like the first pilgrim settlers that took great steps of faith, or momentous steps of faith over the years. We have seen amazing things that God has done for us here. And we celebrate that. It's like crossing Europe and moving across the oceans and seeing all these prophetic words fulfilled. Let's not stop on the beachfront. Let's be prepared to cross over the shoreline to the unknown. Let's embrace the future, and let's be willing for God to change our skills and our approaches as we embrace all that he has. It is an exciting time to be worshipping here at Emmanuel Durham, and I've finished on time. Bless you, Lord Jesus.